an animal. Must be an animal. Come hear the animal. Talking animal. Talking animal.
Good morning. This is Talking Animals on WMNF. I'm Duncan Strauss, and my guest today is Jennifer Langston, founder of Golden Ears Sanctuary and Rescue. Located in Wesley Chapel, Florida, Golden Ears is a specialized refuge for senior and hospice dogs with a stated mission to provide these dogs with dignified end-of-life comfort and care. Most Golden Ears dogs are rescued from local shelters. No fosters are used at that point, and in fact, each dog lives with Langston. She has noted that some have been with her for mere hours and others for more than 18 months. There's no maximum time limit. Golden Ears residents contend with various medical conditions, including cancer, diabetes, heart failure, paralysis, blindness, and deafness. As a 501c3, Golden Ears relies chiefly on donations to underwrite the residents' canine medical and surgical care, physical therapy, medication, as well as general care and feeding. The Golden Ears operation is additionally funded by occasional large events, including their 6th annual Pins for Pups bowling fundraiser taking place on June 22nd. We'll hear about Golden Ears Sanctuary and Rescue and the Pins for Pups and more when I speak with Jennifer Langston in a moment here on Talking Animals on WMNF. Meanwhile, coming up later in today's program, I'll talk with Rachel Essex, resident coordinator and staff advisor at Pet Life at Eckerd College, which yesterday held its 12th annual pet graduation, which conferred diploma-like certificates on a slew of animals, mostly dogs and cats, but a few others too, including a bearded dragon and a hedgehog. Also, one human was honored yesterday with an honorary dogturette in recognition of a person who is dedicated to animal welfare on campus or improving campus life for all creatures. Considered the first college in the nation to accept on-campus pets, Eckerd is committed to honoring the animals that supports its students with events like pet graduation. We'll hear more about this when Rachel Essex joins us a bit later in the show. Right now, though, let's talk dogs, particularly senior dogs and hospice dogs, residing at Golden Ears Sanctuary and Rescue with Jennifer Langston. With a reminder that I invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663, emailing dj@wmnf.org, or texting 813-433-0885. Let's welcome Jennifer Langston, the Talking Animals on WMNF. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning. Thank you so much for letting me be here.
Oh, thanks for joining us on Talking Animals. And Golden Ears is clearly a singular facility operated by a singular person. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very difficult to imagine someone starting out their efforts in rescue with something like Golden Ears. Feels like you'd only arrive at that realm after some years in more conventional rescue or otherwise traveling a distinctive path professionally or personally. So let's maybe delve into that a little bit. Tell me about what you were doing well before Golden Ears. Let's go, well, in fact, all the way back maybe to childhood. Talk about you and animals when you were a kid. Were kids part of your family growing up?
Oh, absolutely. I always grew up with dogs, cats. I would bring home, you know, injured animals, save turtles.
Oh, you were that kid?
I was that kid.
Yeah.
And my mother would actually kind of support the addiction. So my family was very family, pet oriented. And that's kind of what led me to my passion here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So was there multiple pets throughout your whole formative years?
Mostly dogs. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And one thing that my mom kind of instilled in us as we were growing up is you have this dog and you will be with it, you know, till the end. You know, this is a commitment. So, you know, we were raised that you were going to be there, you know, if it was their time. So
wow, that's kind of an unusual attitude to instill in your kids.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, an important one,
mm-hmm,
because later when something bad happens, if that hasn't been discussed at all, everybody's probably extra traumatized. There's trauma no matter what.
Some people struggle very, it's traumatic for them. You're right.
Yeah.
It is.
But that's an interesting and great way to sort of recast, mm-hmm, the commitment, mm-hmm, that you're making. Like, hey, if we're bringing this dog in, mom, can we get a dog or whatever? Mm-hmm. It sounds like that conversation was more detailed and a bit more sophisticated, mm-hmm, really, than a lot of parent-kid conversations.
Absolutely.
About bringing,
yep,
that dog home.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I'm guessing you felt a powerful kinship with dogs at multiple points in your life then?
I have. Yeah. My, I think for me, doing senior hospice, kind of came a little bit later.
Let's come back then in a second, but I'm just kind of curious about, tell me about the first dog that you really felt connected to and felt that kind of kinship.
When I was growing up, Bingo, his name was Bingo, and he was part, my parents got him because they were participating in the Doberman Rescue League, also here in Florida. And so they were fostering Dobermans for that rescue. And we ended up with Bingo and had him for many, many, many years. And it was hard on our family when we had to say goodbye to him.
But, and what did you love so much about Bingo? Why did you kind of forge that connection with him?
He was a protective dog. He loved us. He loved my brothers and I. Mm-hmm. He was just an amazing, cool, calm, and collected big boy.
Yeah.
And that's how we grew up. And, you know, he would lay there while we were playing. And, you know, it was...
keeping an eye on things. Yeah, making sure nobody did any funny business.
He was amazing. Yeah. He was amazing. Yep. Bingo.
Yeah.
Yep. And my parents, before they had started having children, they had dogs. And, you know, my mom has always loved having animals and things like that. So.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like there's really a through line of...
There is.
animals early on. But rescue, adoption.
Yep. Fostering.
Fostering.
It's key.
Caring about them, thinking about them all the way to the end, which again is, I think, a fairly unusual attribute to.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, that is so great and so important to sort of instill that in to kids where, so that no one's like, again, you're going to be upset and traumatized by losing that dog anyway, but you won't be shocked that it's happening because your mom sort of said, like, here's what's required. Yeah. If we're going to bring this dog into the house.
And when we were saying goodbye to our dogs, we were in the room when they were being, unfortunately, sent off to Rainbow Bridge.
Yeah.
But it wasn't traumatic. It was, it's a calm, and I hate to say beautiful, but it is. You're giving this animal peace.
Yeah.
And so that was the crux of it for us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it sounded like that kind of thing was happening probably in some cases years before, like Lap of Love and those kind of places existed, right?
Yeah, I don't know that Lap of Love existed when we were saying goodbye to Bingo and Buck and all those dogs.
Yeah.
Yep.
So otherwise, vets would come to the house or someone else would come to the house?
No, we would go to the vet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I see.
Yeah.
So you were in the office there with the dogs when you had to
or
say
the
goodbye.
Emergency room if something was, you know, emergent.
More dire.
Yeah, exactly.
I gotcha. Mm-hmm. This is Talking Animals on WNF. I'm Duncan Strauss. If you just tuned in, my guest is Jennifer Langston, founder of Golden Ears Sanctuary and Rescue in Wesley Chapel. It's a specialized refuge for senior and hospice dogs with a stated mission to provide these dogs with dignified end-of-life comfort and care. If you have questions for Jennifer or would like to offer a comment, please call 813-239-9663, email dj@wmnf.org, or text 813-433-0885. Not trying to create a wave of sadness here, but so was Bingo or somebody... previous to Bingo, kind of the first, you know, major significant loss that you experienced?
No, Bingo. Bingo would probably be the one that resonates.
You felt the most connected.
Resonates with me.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
we had Coda. I adopted Coda from the Humane Society of Tampa Bay. A big fluffy chow kind of mix. And, you know, he was my dog when I was growing up.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a little bit older and I was able to pick a dog.
Select the dog. Yeah.
Yep. So we had Coda, and we unfortunately had to say goodbye to him. I was with him when he passed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So, maybe more so than with Bingo. What do you recall about like that first sense of loss and having to say goodbye to that dog?
I knew that Bingo, I don't want to say was suffering, but there was an uncomfortableness that was beginning to happen as he was aging. And, you know, you make that decision as a family, and we had that discussion, and we knew that you couldn't continue to ask this soul to continue to, you know, walk and get up and take care of and watch and guard his family to his own, you know, uncomfortable level of pain. So, you know, we as a family made the decision, and we were there together.
Yeah, and, you knew it was time, it sounds like.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It's even now for me, it's a very detailed thought process and discussion with, you know, my partner and my family and my vet. It's not ever a decision made lightly.
I think I was going to talk about this, but that what you just said there makes me wonder, because a lot of times people struggle, obviously, with when it's time. Mm-hmm. And the age-old thing is, like, I don't want to wait too long, mm-hmm. but I don't want to say goodbye too soon if it is premature. Mm-hmm. So with someone who's obviously in the ensuing years had a lot of experience, mm-hmm. which we'll get into in more detail in a moment, yeah. but what's the best way to sort of navigate that very tricky line?
Mm-hmm. Well, first and foremost, emergent situations, the decision is made for you, and that, sure. That has happened.
Yeah, it's kind of clear-cut at that
point. It's clear-cut,
yeah.
Right. You can't ask, and there's just not enough medicine to fix what's happening. When you're approaching the end for one of our dogs, we start looking at signs. I kind of start watching and reading the signs that they're sending, and there are just clear cut for me. I know my dogs, and I know when there's a change in their condition or a change in how their daily routine is, that they're uncomfortable, or they're not really wanting to eat anymore, or and so we make an appointment, and we go in and we sit with our vet. We look at what is their symptoms right now. Is there something we can tweak on medicine to bring quality of life back? But it's just trusting your gut. I think, as difficult as it is, I still struggle every single time. I doubt myself. I doubt that was the time. But on the other side of the loss, I know in my heart I've made the right decisions.
Yeah.
It is an emotional struggle.
And it's a tough thing for so many of us is, like, you don't want to wait too long.
You don't.
Mm-mm. And you don't want to be questioning later, did I wait too long, right. just because I wanted more time with so-and-so?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Which is a natural mm-hmm. inclination, but it's like,
yeah.
at what price?
One of my hardest losses was my most recent loss.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. That one crushed me. It was Tyson, and he was our paralyzed chow. And he was my heart dog, or he is my heart dog. And he's well known in the community and across the United States, actually, because we were trying to have him win America's favorite pet contest. So a lot of people were voting for him and things like that. But I did everything with Tyson at home, because he trusted only me to pick him up and put him in his wheelchair and, do all the things that his, activities of daily living were. It was a real struggle internally and emotionally to get to that point. Yeah. But I knew I had to, for his sake and for his comfort. And I try to take my needs out of the decision.
Yeah.
I am here to take care of them. I am not here to fulfill something in me. It is my responsibility to make sure that they have a good quality of life.
And was Tyson paralyzed, like, early on or even at birth, or was that something that developed later?
Tyson's story is a very, very tragic one. He was adopted. He was brought into our local shelter here in Hillsborough County, and he was adopted out in 2014, and he could walk. And then it was in 2020, he was found paralyzed, laying in someone's front yard. And they brought him in, and they sent out a hospice plea asking for a rescue to take him. And a rescue stepped up. And unfortunately, it was not the best situation for him and anyone else.
The rescue wasn't, you mean?
No. And then in November of 21, the rescue's facility or home caught fire. And that's when they found a horrific hoarding case. And Tyson was...
That's the so-called rescue?
Yes.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
And so, again, sparing anyone those details, Tyson was saved along with a handful of others that went immediately in for medical care and things like that.
Yeah.
I saw Tyson's photo, and I just knew he was mine. I knew the moment I saw that photograph that
What spoke to you about him?
I don't know. I just trust my gut.
Yeah.
I trust my gut. And that's how I bring a lot of my... sanctuary babies in, is I see a photo and there's just something about it. I know that's supposed to be my baby.
So it can actually happen from a photo, because you would think, well, if you went and saw the dog, you'd say, there's something about that I really connected to, something in the eyes, mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. But if you're saying it's from a photo, that's even more significant.
Yep. Yep. And this, he was my first wheelchair baby. So I was flying blind. Kurt was flying blind. He and I both were. We both had to learn to trust each other. He had to know that I could physically get him into the chair that, you know, that he didn't have. I mean, we had one donated that I had gotten about a year before. Didn't have a paralyzed dog, but I accepted that donation.
And just thinking, one day we'll need this.
One day. And sure enough, Tyson came in and that chair was fit perfectly for him.
Wow.
Just
talk about meant to be.
The universe always will give you what it is you need.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just amazing. And Tyson was with me until he passed away last month.
Oh, so sorry.
Yeah. So, but he was amazing. Just everybody loved Tyson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And was it ever possible to determine what happened? Because it sounds like he wasn't born paralyzed, mm-hmm. but it sounded like somewhere along the line he was.
Yeah.
Was that because of the care or lack of care he was receiving?
No, he was paralyzed when he went to that rescue.
Okay.
But the gentleman who had Tyson for the time being before he was picked up by animal control said that he walked around limping and then eventually just stopped walking and the citizen didn't get him any medical care or anything like that. So we can kind of assume he was probably hit by a car or something like that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And just didn't get the care he needed.
Yeah. And it just progressively became more and more. So suddenly he was.
But again, you know, to talk about Tyson and kind of, you know, boast about him, people would come into my home that he didn't know. And Tyson was a very strong, physically strong dog, and he would drag his body around if he wasn't in his wheelchair, because he can't be in the wheelchair 24/7.
Yeah.
But if he didn't...
Just because it causes sores and other problems.
Well, they can't lay down. And,
right, you can't get comfortable in other ways, right?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. But if Tyson didn't know the person in the house, he would put himself, drag his body between me and the person he didn't know.
Oh, as a form of protection?
Absolutely.
Like, hey, I'm not sure about this guy.
Don't know, Mom.
We got this covered just in case there's any trouble.
Exactly. Yeah. This was Tyson, and I was his human, and it was beautiful. It was beautiful.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah. It sounded like you guys were. How long were you together?
He joined me in December of 2021, and he passed away April 12th last month.
Oh, again, so sorry for that loss.
Thank you.
So, as I kind of alluded to at the beginning, but let's talk more about the sort of the founding of Golden Ears. But what were sort of the precursors to that? Because, again, that's a very specialized kind of world to step into.
Yeah.
We're hearing Holly, who's a visitor from Golden Ears, as is Jennifer and Jody. So, So if you're wondering if I've lost control here, only minimally in the dog way, but...
They do what they want.
Yeah.
So the kind of the beginning of Golden Ears?
Yeah, or even what was prior to that, just because, to create something like that is obviously wonderful and amazing, but there's significant things clearly that must have happened before that, because not that many people would say, well, I know, here I'm going to create from scratch a rescue that deals with senior dogs and hospice dogs. So,
absolutely. Teddy and Gizmo. That's kind of the start of wanting to honor them. They were two Chihuahuas that I had. I was with Teddy when he passed away. He was very, very old, 15 or 16 years old. And I was devastated when I lost Teddy, but I wanted to do something to kind of honor him and Gizmo. And so I can tell you exactly where I was when it popped into my brain that I wanted to have a sanctuary.
So at this point, when Teddy and Gizmo were in the scene, this was just dogs that you had at your home, regular, quote unquote, dog lover that had dogs.
Well, I had Teddy and Gizmo. There was a life change in my world, and I found a wonderful home for them that was a wonderful home. That sadly I was able to get Teddy back. And so I just promised at that point that I would never, ever, ever, fail another dog. I would never do it. And so, I decided to create, I wanted a sanctuary. That was kind of in my brain that I wanted to take
Once I lost Teddy,
I wanted to honor them.
Okay.
And so I knew that I wanted to help senior hospice dogs. I just didn't know how to go about it yet.
Right.
So I started volunteering at a rescue and kind of started learning the ropes and getting used to the idea of what was entailed in it. And that became the beginning of Golden Ears. And I incorporated in July of 2019, or in June of 2019, and we're going to be 5 years next month.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's a great anniversary. All right, let's take, would you have a caller? Let's get them involved in the conversation. Hi, you're on Talking Animal, Jennifer Langston. Sorry. Hi.
Hi, wonderful show as always. And I just lost my dog. He was 13 half monkey Houdini showboat Earls. I'd had his mom. He went through everything with me. And I'm not going to get a dog until things settle down around the house. And then I would like to get a rescue dog, but I don't know how to go about.
You don't know how to go about adopting a new rescue dog when you're ready? Is that what you're making sure I'm understanding your question?
My friend always takes in senior dogs that, you know, they're people who have passed or they can't take care of them anymore. So
yeah.
I was looking along those lines because,
I can tell you that there are some wonderful, wonderful local rescues that...
I'm in Dunedin.
Yeah, no, absolutely. There are some wonderful rescues in the local Tampa Bay area that are looking for wonderful forever homes for their animals that are up for adoption. Golden Ears dogs are not up for adoption because of the medical needs and diagnoses that they have. But when you're ready, you're more than welcome to email me or contact me. I'm happy to put you in contact with some wonderful rescues.
Could I get your email address?
Absolutely. I think it'll be available. I mean, it's...
Yeah, well, here's the thing. In the meantime, let me give you and others listening the website, which is goldenearsrescue.org. And you can go to that, and then I think there's contact information on the website. So,
absolutely.
So that way you can kind of look at what the kind of some of the other work that Jennifer's doing that we'll talk about today, and so much we may not have time to talk about everything.
Okay, honey. Thank y'all so much. God bless you.
All right.
Sorry about
your loss. Take care.
Yeah.
Hey, he was ready. Join him and God. He wasn't allowed out of the room.
The problem is we're never ready when they are,
right?
That's right. Well, I was expecting that. He was, Anyway.
Okay, well, thanks for your call.
Thanks for taking my call, honey.
Okay. Okay, so Teddy was kind of the impetus.
Yes.
And,
Teddy and Gizmo.
So, but even that's interesting because it's like most of us have lost one or more dogs and haven't thought, hey, I'm going to create a sanctuary or a rescue.
Yeah.
Well, or even just like you have one dog, in this case, Teddy, although Gizmo, obviously, I guess, figures into the story at some point.
Yep.
But that's a big leap to make.
It is.
Why do you think you made that leap?
For me, it was I started seeing more and more animals that were being abandoned, that were senior, that had, you know, debilitating diagnoses and things like that. And I don't know. My heart tells me that I'm strong enough to sit there and fight it out and be with them so that they're not alone.
Yeah.
That's just kind of where I came from my heart is
sure.
I want to be there so that they know they're not alone when they pass.
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
And because you see stories about or you hear stories about people bringing their senior dogs in to, basically surrender. And you just think, okay, why? What's happening here?
Yeah.
Because they're older? Because things aren't going as great as they once were?
You know, I try to have a little bit of grace in this regard. And because it is a gift to be able to sit and watch the life of an animal end, right? As peaceful as it is, it's hard for a lot of people and they don't know what to expect. They just don't know that they can handle it. So they might... take their dog down a street and drop it off and hope that somebody kind will take it in and give it the rest of
just because they can't
just
because
they
take
can't do
the,
it
the next
yeah.
what's happening
and so I do try to have a little bit of grace am I sad and disappointed that they didn't do it absolutely but I try to focus on how do I make it better how can
right. well,
I
that's
make it better
clearly where you come in
right
yeah.
exactly
yeah
and so I don't focus on and I try not to focus on Holly let's say who has a massively you know, damaged jaw. It's not about how that happened. It's about how do I make it better? How do I get her jaw to function again? Tyson, you know, he's paralyzed. How do I get him the freedom again? Whatever happened, happened. I can't dwell on it.
Right.
I'm here now, and I have to do what I can to give this dog a dignified quality of life until it's time.
Yeah. Let's take another caller here if we can. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Jennifer Langston.
Yes, good afternoon to you, Duncan. I'm Winter Haven Bruce, and I'm trying not to cry. But to keep the discussion happy, just, you know, we have to get to that decision in our lives when it's not me-ism for the dog. Thank you.
Okay, Bruce. Sorry, you're obviously...
Tell your host, she's really cheerful, but it doesn't work.
Oh. Yeah, I understand. You're obviously having a tough time. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Thank you for your call, though. Okay. That was still Holly with a swooping rescue by Jody. So, but I have to say that, and you'll probably maybe later see picture of Holly, or you can see probably yeah. picture of Holly on the Golden Ears website, which again is goldenearsrescue.org. But she could not be cuter and
tiny.
Tiny, yeah.
She's tiny.
Tiny but mighty in terms of cuteness.
And she's also a prime example of I saw a photograph. The person who found her posted her on a local Facebook page, a neighborhood page, trying to find the owner. And the owner did not step up. So Holly was taken to the shelter. And I saw her photo in that finder photo.
Yeah.
And I was like, something about this.
Wow.
So I tracked what shelter she went to and I contacted someone there. And I said, if the owner doesn't show up, I want to help this dog.
Yeah.
And owner didn't show up, and so I went and picked her up.
So what is, besides your kind of gut reaction, often again, as we've mm-hmm. established, to photos, not even like meeting the dog or being charmed by the dog, it's mm-hmm. just the photo, which sometimes obviously you find charming mm-hmm. or find some connection there. Is there other criteria, like is there certain times where Golden Ears is like kind of closer to or at capacity where you think, well, there's a dog I'd love to help, but right now we don't have room?
We are always at capacity.
Okay. So you're also always finding a way to take another one in?
We are always
like.
At capacity, yes.
And what is capacity? Just
it's too many by many standards.
Okay, so we probably don't want to talk because there's probably legal things that are adhered to.
I mean,
oh, well, usually sometimes rescues have a certain amount that they're allowed to have. And,
my home is inspected every year by the county. So
yeah.
Someone comes in, they look at all of our records, they look at the condition of the dogs, they look at the condition of the house.
Yeah.
There's nothing there. But it takes a lot out of you because I work from home. I do yeah. have a full-time job that I maintain.
What kind of work do you do?
I am a medical malpractice underwriter.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
interesting.
We insure doctors. And so it's a blessing that to have this job and this employer who supports what I do, because I can stay home and I can take care of the dogs. I can keep an eye on them 24/7 to make sure that if there's a change in condition, we're immediately communicating with our vet and making changes to medication, or you know, making an appointment and heading right in. So
yeah,
I live, eat, sleep, breathe my babies.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it.
And is there something you found that over the years of doing this, almost five, doing this exact kind of work, mm-hmm. that you feel like you need to do to kind of recharge, restore, just so you don't get too sad or too much loss or too much, you know, burnout, emotional or otherwise?
That's his responsibility.
Okay. She's pointing to Jody. Let the record reflect. Yeah.
I have a wonderful support system.
Okay.
I have my mom. I have my brothers. I have Jody. I have amazing friends and rescue partners who check in on me frequently and things like that. So, yeah, it takes a village to keep me upright.
Yeah. No, that's impressive, just because... Again, I think a lot of people listening would find after that many losses and just saying goodbye to that many dogs, most of us would be like crumpled up in the fetal position, but it sounds like you just kind of keep going.
Not yet.
Take care of the next dogs.
Not
and
yet.
Take care of the next business call when it went between dogs and...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's exactly... I think when I lose one, I don't immediately try to replace them. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
I do, again, go off of gut feelings, and it sounds sort of crazy, but... You know, it's worked for me so far.
Yeah.
And you asked about criteria. There is. I mean, we have blind dogs. We have dogs that, you know, have seizures. We have, when Tyson was with me, we had, a paralyzed dog. And so we do have to make sure we're bringing in the right dog for the home. We have cats. We have chickens. We have turkeys. So, you know, we can't take as much as we'd love to, full-on behavioral cases because we don't use crates and cages in the house.
Right. There's probably a certain balance that would be upset
if
yeah, you weren't
careful
about that.
We have a blind dog who walks around, but she might bump into somebody and we, you know,
Can't have somebody go nuts. Yeah, I got you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let me again let folks know this is Talking Animals on WMNF. I'm Duncan Strauss. My guest is Jennifer Langston, founder of Golden Ears Sanctuary and Rescue, a specialized refuge in Wesley Chapel, Florida, for senior and hospice dogs. We invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663, emailing dj at wmnf.org, or texting 813-433-0885. So take us on a little bit of a narrated and guided tour of the place. So, like, mm-hmm. if we first walked into Golden Ears, what would we see and how would we proceed throughout the place?
So the first thing you would see is a fireplace, and there's a very large bed in front of the fireplace where Newman and Romeo sleep. That's their little spot.
They've claimed it.
That's their spot.
Yeah.
Exactly. But my home is situated on 1.25 acres, fully fenced. And so we allow the dogs to run around and do what they want. I know you saw the video of Reese.
Yeah.
Your typical beagle. You know, she loves to, you know, just kind of trot around the yard and sniff and bark and, you know, do what beagles do. We've had a couple of hunting hounds, abandoned hunting hounds that, you know, we have, you know, raccoons and things that go through the yard in the middle of the night. So they pick up on those tracks and would run around and have a good time barking and things like that.
And the raccoons don't.
Oh, they're gone by the time. Yeah. By the time that's, yeah. But nobody, you know, everybody sleeps inside. In my bed alone, sometimes I can have between 4 and 5 dogs sleeping with me. And then there's beds around my bed. Everybody has their little spot at night. Holly sleeps on the pillow next to mine. And, we've got big old Apollo who's now decided he's going to start sleeping in bed with me instead. You know, it was Tyson, but when Tyson passed, Apollo decided he was going to take that spot.
Mm.
So, yeah, they run roughshod right over me. They get everything they want.
But it's interesting how they maneuver if one sadly does pass and then, you know, that they're gone, and how sometimes how quickly or not quickly they're to recognize that and move maybe into a space that used to be occupied by a...
Well, generally, we do have Lap of Love will come in to help us say goodbye to our babies. And we have a wonderful relationship with Dr. Dawn there. And she knows our dogs. And so they luckily and such a blessing move mountains to help us with Tyson. But the dogs are right there all around us as we're saying goodbye.
I see. That's really important.
I think it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of them...
They understand.
Yeah,
at least
some
most
of them will come
do.
And yeah. will come up to the dog and kind of say their goodbye. At least that's how I would perceive it.
Yeah.
And then there are some that are just paws off. I'm okay. And we don't force anyone to...
Right. You just know, give them the option.
Just give them the option.
Sure.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lap of Love is really remarkable.
They do amazing work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Dr. Danny was on here many, many years ago, and she and her partner's name, mm-hmm. also a vet, they were in vet school in UF, I believe, and when they just kind of launched it, and just to see what it's become in terms of this huge national juggernaut.
Yeah.
But just everybody I've ever heard of or that I know of, including myself, has used Lap of Love. Just raved about the experience.
Yeah, we have wonderful partners that help us.
That's great.
Lap of Love, Faithful Friends, our vet, Animal and Exotic Medical Center.
Yeah.
I mean, we are genuinely blessed.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, I kind of took us off, Patty. No. You were describing the...
It is. It's just, luckily I have laminate flooring.
I figured. Yeah, somehow. Not a great place for carpeting, probably, necessarily.
It's not. This is not a place for carpeting.
Yeah.
But the house is completely open, except for two bedrooms that I close off, and there's, you know, no need for them to be hiding in there or going in there. It's usually for storage of, you know, dog items and supplies.
Yeah.
But... everybody has their designate. They know where they eat their breakfast and their dinner. And when I'm working, you know, doing my job that pays the mortgage, they're normally right around my feet, or Holly's sitting behind me in the chair.
And when you're on a business call, how much barking is there?
Generally, not much. Like I was talking to a client late last night. They had a situation and they needed to speak with me after hours and things like that. But one of the dogs started barking and I said, "I'm so sorry." And she goes, "Oh no, we love dogs. That's great.
Oh, that's great. No problem.
We had our pet turkey, Edward. Once in a while, he would wander into the house.
Oh, yeah?
And yeah. One time he gobbled and someone heard it.
So they're not as accustomed to hearing the turkey gobble as that dog bark. No.
They laughed at it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
They thought it was fun.
That's great. Mm-hmm. All right, so please continue your tour. Sorry, I keep interrupting.
It's an open floor plan. Everyone has their spot. Some dogs want the couch. We only have one that's in a pen when I'm not home, because he does kind of wander and could bump in and end up in a corner somewhere.
Okay.
So for safety purposes.
Is that the blind one, you mean?
Yep.
Oh, okay,
yep.
Yeah.
We have a couple of blind ones.
I see.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
But he somehow ends up in a corner once in a while and barking. So, you know, you got to go find out where the barking is.
Probably frustrating.
Exactly.
For sure.
Everybody has a bed. Everybody kind of wanders around. They know when it's, you know, time for medicine. They know when I'm leaving that they're going to get a treat. So it's a well-functioning machine for the most part.
They love
their routine.
Yeah, no, it sounds like a good setup and very, as you say, super dog friendly. So
that's right.
That's great. Well, I'm going to... ask a couple more questions in a sec, but I'm going to read at least part of kind of a longer email came in, but I'm going to read at least part of it. She says, "Thank you so much for bringing Jennifer on today. She's a lovely person and is a saint." Big exclamation mark. Then it says, "I was curious about whether pet insurance plans generally have a hospice component. I used to work at Life Path Hospice in Tampa, and it was great for human hospice care to be featured as a covered option via Medicare."
I actually had a conversation with one pet insurance organization, and they, because of all of my dogs having, quote, pre-existing conditions, they were not qualified at all to get coverage. And that's, you know, every single dog comes in with generally a pretty big pre-existing condition. We have some that are just old, and they're just going to live their life with me.
Yeah.
But, pet insurance, I think, is generally more so for those younger dogs and things like that. But
yeah.
I haven't been able to secure anything like that, and I can't imagine what it would cost.
Well, we also got an email from a bit of an insider. This is Daniel.
Oh, no.
Jennifer's brother. She's a phenomenal aunt. My boys love visiting her home. She finds time for my boys on top of her job and the sanctuary, and ask her about the painted rocks in her yard.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I guess that's my cue to ask about the painted rocks in the yard.
That is my mother's brainchild. My first dog that I lost as, you know, golden ears.
Yeah.
Her name was Addison. And I'm going to cry. My mom surprised me. I was very upset that I had lost Addie. It was a very traumatic loss, my very first one.
Yeah.
And my mom came over to kind of help me get through it. We were talking about it. And she presented me with this rock. And it was painted beautifully with Addison's name on it.
Oh, wow.
And so from that point forward, my mom has painted rocks for each one of my babies that I lose.
Wow.
And on my property in the back, I have a big tree in the middle with a deck around it. And all of those rocks go around that tree.
My goodness.
And so, yeah,
it's
beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Yeah, it's wonderful because you can sit out there and we have wind chimes in the tree.
Oh, nice. So, really peaceful.
Yeah, exactly. Nice. When the family comes over for Easter, that's my big holiday that I host is Easter. And we put, you know, a couple hundred eggs in the yard for the kids.
But, wow.
You know, you can just sit there and, you know, you're visiting with all your babies at that point.
Yeah.
But yeah,
that's
I love you.
Nice.
I love you too, Daniel.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's cool. Thanks, Daniel. So I'm going to come back and ask about one or more specific residents, but before, make sure we don't run out of time, I want to ask about, clearly you have many mouths to feed and lots of vet bills to pay. So how is Golden Ears funded?
Solely on donations. We we work off of only
donations.
So
no grants, no other sources of...
Everything is donated to us, And we take everything in any, you know, even items, food, we'll accept.
Yeah.
And if we can't use it, we share it with our other rescues that we work with or partner with and things like that. So nothing goes to waste.
Sure.
For example, again, Tyson's wheelchair. I took it in, and I thought, I might need this.
Yeah.
And sure enough, a year later, it came in handy.
Yeah.
We've been very blessed so far that, you know, the community takes care of us.
Yeah.
And, you know, our dogs get every medical attention and every procedure that they need. And, you know, they're
And do the vets involved kind of give you a break on what would normally be the fee for that kind of service?
Exactly. They've been wonderful with us. Holly, they were fighting so hard to try and help Holly's jaw become more functional. And, you know, talking with our vet, he says, I'm going out of town. We need to do this tomorrow.
Yeah.
They took her right then.
Wow.
You know, so we are very, very blessed to work with a great team of people there. And, you know, we've called them when we were having an emergency in the car. You know, we are on our way. And they have met us in the parking lot, taking the dog from our hands and going straight back.
Wow.
And so that we could kind of get our wits about ourselves to get inside.
They obviously support your mission and what you're doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I mean, they cry right along with us.
I'm sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So let me just remind people that talking with Jennifer Langston from Golden Ears Sanctuary and Rescue, and the website is goldenearsrescue.org, so you can find out more about what we've been talking about, but you can also donate directly from the website, if I'm not mistaken, Jennifer, right?
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes, ways to help.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and then there's also the occasional fundraising event, so let's talk about the Pins for Pups coming up.
Yes, sir. Pins for Pups 6th Annual.
Yeah.
This is one of two major events that we do that really helps kind of keep us rolling and doing what we need to do for everybody. My brother is, quote, the game master, Daniel, who you just got an email from.
Yeah.
I don't have the detail and the mental capacity to do what I do and try to run an event as well.
Right, sure.
So Daniel does our Pins for Pups, which is our bowling event, and it's a great time. People come, our friends, family, friends of friends, family of friends, business partners, and all the such come out and come to support what we do. And it's a great time.
That's great.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. We have.
And does it usually turn up a nice hunk of dough
for the sanctuary? It does, yeah.
Yeah.
And we're lucky because also there's a matching. So somebody is able to actually... They actually help us in the sense that their employer will match up to $1,000. So we're able to take advantage of that too.
Nice.
So if somebody, you know, check with your employers and see if they offer that beautiful benefit, because it makes a difference, especially for us.
Yeah.
These dogs are not cheap.
No, it sounds like there's a lot of expenses.
There is.
A lot of mouths to feed. Or vet bills galore, et cetera.
Yep.
So I think we have just kind of about reached the end of our time here, Jennifer, but and next time we'll talk about other dog residents, and I was
absolutely
open to talk about Reese, and
she's wonderful, by the way.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
So anyways, again, this is Jennifer Langston. The name of the facility is Golden Ears Sanctuary and Rescue. It's in Wesley Chapel, and the website is goldenearsrescue.org, and so you can find out more about some of the dogs we've talked about and some of the ones we haven't talked about, ways to donate and otherwise support their great work. Jennifer, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Duncan.
And good luck, and thanks for looking after all of our dog friends.
I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
In a moment, I'll talk with Rachel Essex about Eckerd College's annual pet graduation that took place yesterday. The school's pioneering path in allowing their students to reside with their pets and more. We'll have that conversation with Rachel Essex in just a moment here on Talking Animals on WMNF. Right now, though, we're going to step into the comedy corner. I selected a piece that may well relate to both interviews, meaning the one I just did with Jennifer Langston and the one I'm about to do with Rachel Essex. This is Max Rosenblum with a piece called Dog People in today's comedy corner on Talking Animals on WMNF.
I don't know if any of you are dog people. I feel like you're not a dog person. unless you bring your dog in to bring your kid to work day. That's when you know you're a dog person. My coworker Jackie loves dogs. She came into work one day, 9 a.m., burst through the door. She's like, Max, you wouldn't believe it. I was out walking Sadie last night, and someone was walking their cat. Someone was walking their cat. And I was like, okay, to be fair, that is unusual. But I find it hilarious that people scoff at the idea of people treating their cats like dogs, but they have no problem at all treating their dogs like humans. Do you know what I mean? It's like, where do you get off being like, I'm sorry, are you walking your cat right now? My dog cannot enjoy his brunch while you're walking your cat right now. It is so distracting. My fully clothed dog cannot enjoy his mimosa with your cat on a leash. You guys have been wonderful. My name is Max Rosenblum.
That was Max Rosenblum in today's Comedy Corner with a piece called Dog People, taken from one of his television appearances. Now it's time to speak with Rachel Essex about how uniquely animal-friendly Eckerd College is, including the annual pet graduation that took place yesterday. So let's welcome Rachel Essex to Talking Animals on WM. Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning.
So how's it going, Rachel?
Good, good. How are you?
Very good. So I'm excited to hear about the pet graduation ceremony that took place yesterday. Can you just kind of briefly describe how it worked and what it looked like?
Yeah, of course. We had a wonderful time. It was a great turnout. This was our 12th annual pet graduation ceremony, and this past fall we celebrated 50 years of pet life on campus since we welcomed pets officially in 1973. Last night, 50 pets graduated, 21 dogs, 17 cats, 8 reptiles, and 4 what I call pocket pets. And we have 151 pets on campus total. But last night, our pets were accompanied by their owners. They walk across the stage. They have their name called, receive their diploma, and they take photos with our college's president, Dr. Anna Rowley.
That sounds really cool. So it's one thing to be a dog graduate kind of strolling across the stage, but I'm wondering how the cats navigate that path, not to mention the snakes and the bearded dragon, et cetera.
The cats were pretty funny. We opened with a prayer, and the cat was very vocal. He had a lot to say during the prayer.
Oh, yeah. That's funny.
Yeah, they were very vocal, expressing their opinions and thoughts. But everyone was very well-behaved.
That's good. I should hope so. They're at a big fancy graduation, so we hope they're behaving properly. Yeah. So this kind of separate graduation ceremony started in 2013, more than a decade ago. Do you know how that first graduation came together, like who proposed it?
So I have only been working at Eckerd since last spring.
Okay.
But we have had our pet council for the past 50 years. So it's surprising that it hasn't come about before then. So it's wonderful to recognize all of our pets who have graduated and who have taken care of our students for their past 4 years.
Yeah. And also I know that each ceremony involves also the awarding of a dog turret, recognizing someone for their, I guess typically for their animal welfare efforts on campus.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the recipient this time around?
Our risk manager, Tanya Womack. She was wonderful. I think she was very excited to receive the award. She is such a big part of pet life and has done a lot to get this program up and running in the past 12 years.
So she was kind of recognized for her many years of pet life work and supporting the efforts on campus.
Yes, she does a wonderful job assessing the risks of pet life and how we can safely bring pet life to campus. And she has done a wonderful job helping us and reviewing our policies and helping this program become what it is.
That's really cool. Now, I saw somewhere that Eckerd was the first college to accept on-campus pets. I don't know if any schools dispute that, but that seems like a particular kind of bragging right. That's pretty cool if it really is the very first one anywhere.
We're pretty proud of it. We've always welcomed pets, but we've officially welcomed pets since 1973. And we are rated in many different journals as the top-rated pet-friendly campus. We're the oldest, most robust pet program in the country, and that's something that we're very proud of.
Oh, that's really great. And I think part of the idea, well, first of all, a key factor is in this all this is allowing students to live with their pets in the on-campus housing, right? I mean, that's that's kind of the big focus of the Pet Life program. And and it's actually a pretty huge number that, that do that at this point. I guess just around 9% of the students that live on campus are living with, I guess, one pet that they're able to bring. So how does that work? Is there like an entire floor or building devoted to animals? I'm just wondering, for example, about roommates who don't like animals maybe or might be allergic or whatever, and how you separate those out.
So we have 12 complexes of dorms, and each one has four separate houses, like four separate buildings for the most part. So about half of our campus housing, a little bit more than half, is what we consider large pet friendly. So cats, dogs, ferrets, rabbits, and large birds.
Okay.
And then the rest of the housing that's not large pet friendly, you can have small animals like reptiles, guinea pigs, hamsters, etc.
Yeah.
Those can be in any dorm, but cats, dogs, considered large animals can only be in large pet friendly housing.
So somebody wouldn't end up in the wrong kind of housing where it's like, hey, I'm actually allergic to cats and I can't be living here, because all that's kind of figured out in advance by where they're placed.
Yes, and incoming students can specify if they would like large pet housing or not.
Yeah.
And then they pick their rooms from there out when they return. So if they want non-large pet housing, not animal housing, then they can select that when they go through the room selection process.
Okay, cool. Well, we're almost out of time here, Rachel, but is there a memorable story either from yesterday's graduation or just generally from years of pet life action where, you know, something notable happened with one of the animals that you might want to just share with us real quick?
Yeah, I would just say that speaking from experience, just having a pet on campus to rely on through such a stressful and difficult time really strengthens the bond that we share with our pets. There's no judgment with them. They're great listeners. And we just build such strong bonds, and we share that love and also that grief with pets. And it's built such a wonderful community, especially when we came last night. There were several pets dressed up in caps and gowns.
Nice.
Some of them had little cords for what their owners were involved in.
Oh, cool.
It was great. So Eckerd will have photos on the website of pet graduation, if anybody wants to see those on our website.
I certainly do.
We got some great pictures of the animals, but it just creates such a special community, and we get to recognize that special bond that we share with all of our animals.
Well, that sounds great. Well, thank you, Rachel. We are at the end of our time now, but you're really giving us a good sense of yesterday's graduation and just kind of the overall sensibility at Eckerd College towards animals. So thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. You have a wonderful day.
You too.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Okay, we have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals. Slice of Life is up next. After that, back to music with Jim Bannon from 1 to 3, followed by Nancy C from 3 to 6, and then the Latin music kicks in after that. And I'll be back next week with Anton Pushkin, a filmmaker whose documentary Saving the Animals of Ukraine premieres on PBS series Nature that night. So that's it for today. It's Talking Animals on WNF Tampa. We'll see you next Wednesday here at 11 a.m. Thanks.